There are many words that the Torah uses, that we refer to in our davening, particularly in the Slichos, which describe an Aveira. The Torah uses the word Chet, and the Torah uses the word Avon, and the word Pesha. And many of us are familiar with the famous Gemara Maseches Yuma, where the Gemara tells us that although the three words will sound like you're doing something wrong, but they mean very, very different connotations. The word Chet refers primarily to a Chet B'Shoigeg, something that a person does unintentionally. An Avon is a little bit more serious, a person does it intentionally. But albeit, he doesn't do it with malicious motives. He does it because he falls prey to his Yetzer. He knows what he's doing. It wasn't a shaggy. It wasn't unintentional. But it wasn't as a rebellion. It was an Aveira. And a Pesha is the highest level. A Pesha is a Mered, is a rebellion. A person has a tain against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm going to act in such a way as in a demonstration of a Mered, a rebellion against the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. So the question is, which one of these three words should we focus on tonight? Should we focus on Pshoyim? I mean, Baruch Hashem, we're dealing with anyone's coming out 12:30 at night to say Slichas, once a Shabbos, but most probably not talking about people who are over Averus L'Hachis. Even Avoinois, Avoinois. Most of us are not doing Averus B'Mezid. And forget, even if a person does an Averus B'Mezid, so the Gemara says that if he does Tshuva, even the lowest level of Tshuva, even Tshuva Meira, so the Averus B'Mezid is not so low Kishkagos, so it becomes a Shogeg anyway. So the Gemara says that if you see someone who's a Tamar Chacham, who violates an Avera, you should always be Darim L'Chav S'chus, that Mestami was already Chayzeh B'Tshuva. So dealing with Baruch Hashem, we're talking about B'nai Torah, we're talking about Yirei Hashem is Barach, so we're not talking about anyone who violated Averus B'Mezid in terms of Pshoyim. And even if once in a while there may have been an Avon Shtickle B'Mezid in there, it's already been a long time. I mean, no one's been violating Averus today, Shabbos. How many Averus can you violate in Shabbos for Shabbos, Shabbat Torah Mitzvahs? So we're not talking about Bali Pesh, we're not talking about Bali Avon. What are we possibly talking about? Maybe we're talking about some chatoim. Maybe we're talking about things which were done b'shoigeg. And even if there was an aver b'mezid, no, chayz b'tshuva, z'don estas alosh kishkagos. So the question is, how do we address this level of chayt? Although it's the lowest level, it's the least problematic, so to speak. Although it may be the least problematic, it's probably the most problematic for us, because it's the one that we bump into most. How do we address the notion of aver b'shoigeg? Person does something, they weren't quite thinking properly, they weren't having the whole cheshbonos out, they did something wrong. Maybe they spoke Lashon Hara b'shoigeg. Maybe they didn't daven properly b'shoigeg. Maybe they made a bracha v'atola b'shoigeg. Maybe they didn't learn the way they were supposed to b'shoigeg. How do we address the very notion of shoigeg? So one thing is clear. The Rambam tells us in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva that chayav adam lachzor b'tshuva bein b'meizid bein b'shoigeg. There's a chiyuv of tshuva on all averus, even averus done b'shoigeg. So im kein, we have a work cut out for us. How do we understand what the nature of an averus b'shoigeg is? How do we address the issue of a tshuva, particularly for an averus b'shoigeg? So I think the very word that is used by the Torah to describe something that is done b'shogeg perhaps gives us a little bit of an insight as to what our avodah is during the next couple of days, next couple of weeks. And that's the very word chet itself. What is the word chet? We got to translate the word chet. So already the Mefarshim explained to us that the word chet means to miss the mark. They use the word chet, when the marshal about the Vedoma, if a person is shooting an arrow, and it's off a little bit, it misses the target, so you say it was a chet. It was even I think in modern Hebrew, I'm not mistaken, they sometimes use the word chet, to describe that connotation of, I tried, I aimed, I thought I was going to hit the right target, and I was off by a little bit. That's called the chet. So that's exactly what a chet is. The chet is, I had good intentions. The chet is, I'm not about peshan, I'm not about oven, but about chet I am. I thought I was doing the right thing in Avodas Hashem, and somehow, it was the end of the day, it was the target got missed. The ball didn't quite get where it was supposed to get. So we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, well, how did that happen? Why exactly did that happen? Why is it that I thought I was shooting properly, I thought I had a goal in life, I thought I had a mahalach hachayim, and somehow comes a week before Shoshana, and I take a step back and I think, wait a second, I had these grandiose goals, and these grandiose aims, I didn't think I was doing anything wrong the whole year, and somehow I'm not exactly where I'm supposed to be. This is not what my plan was last Ne'ilah. When I finished Ne'ilah last year, I thought I would be in a little bit of a different place where I am today. The basic question we have to ask ourselves everybody is, what went wrong? Or where did we miss the target? How did we miss the target? So I think I'm not a bookie in target practice. I don't consider that to be my forte. not such an expert in the nuances of different professional sports either. Maybe at one time I was. But I think that we can even get a little bit of a marshal. And if I make any mistakes, some of the younger chever, some of the younger heart chever will help me along a little bit. I think there is some insight perhaps you can get, even from the world of sports, just a little bit about what it means to miss the target. Why is it that sometimes miss the target? What sometimes goes wrong? And maybe we can use that in terms of the ultimate targets, the targets that we hopefully are working on, take a little bit more seriously than some of the targets that we may be referring to now. So sometimes you have a situation where everything looks right. A person is going to make a tremendous throw. Marshall, yeah, quarterback, he's got the perfect, his arm is in perfect shape. He throws the ball at the perfect angle, the perfect line, everything's perfect. He's in the right place, and the receivers, everything's perfect. Mamish Gavaldik, there's no reason for anything to go wrong. One small technical problem. The throw was perfect. The only problem was there was an interception. There was somebody came Mamish out of nowhere and stepped into the line of aim. So there was nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong with the aim. There was nothing wrong with the throw. There was nothing wrong with the quarterback. There was nothing wrong with the receiver. It's a davar min achutz. There was something which externally comes in between me and my desired goal. That's one type of a chait. Lamaisa, I missed the target. My nafkamina, whether I missed the target because I threw it's a big nafkamina, if I threw it 20 yards away, at least that's passing complete. If I throw it at deception, the other team gets the ball. That's what I think the din used to be. Okay, still the same, right? So, Rabbi Isai, that's a way of missing a target. You can miss a target because, not that there's a chisaron per se in your aim, but there's a davar hamin achutz that has prevented you from reaching your goal. And that's one fundamental type of chait that that faces us. This is one of the challenges we have in addressing chait. The Rambam describes in Hilchos Teshuva that when a person becomes a bal aveira, so even when they try to do mitzvahs, somehow the mitzvahs don't succeed. A person thinks that he's davening, and somehow the davening doesn't go right. And he thinks that he's learning, and somehow the learning doesn't go right. And he tries to... Everything seems to fail. Everything gets in the way. What's pshat? What's getting in the way? There's some kind of an interception taking place. What's the interception? So the Chofetz Chaim elaborates upon this theme. It's a theme already the Rishonim developed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us different mitzvahs corresponding to different parts of our body. So the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, one of the Moni HaMitzvahs, so he divides up all the mitzvahs that are according to the different organs of the body. Some mitzvahs you do with your heart, and some mitzvahs you do with your mouth, some mitzvahs with your ears, some mitzvahs with your hands and your feet, etc. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, connected each one of the parts of our body, different mitzvahs to do. And on the other hand, there are also aveiros. There are some aveiros that we do with our mouth, and some aveiros we do with our heart, and some aveiros we do with our feet, and with arms, etc. So the Chofetz Chaim tells us that, you know, out of all the organs, the person's body, so if you think about it, what are the most important parts of a person's goof? A person can live without a hand, a person can live without a foot, even some internal organs a person could live without. But certain parts of a person's body, which are the Evarim Shah Neshama Tluya Boy, where his nefesh, his neshama, exists. So the Gemara says, imagine if a person doesn't have a head. Not just because he's not thinking straight. Because he doesn't have a mech, doesn't have a brain. Without a brain, to the best of my knowledge, I don't know, the doctors came in to have to, if I say something wrong medically, to the best of my knowledge, without a head, without a brain, a person can't live, right? Still the same, okay, modern medicine hasn't overcome that absolutely yet. Without a heart, person can't live. Person can't survive. There's the Evarim Shah Neshama Tluya Bo. Says the Chofetz Chaim, if so, the mitzvahs that a person performs with those organs are a different type of mitzvah that a person does with his hands and his feet. So there's a mitzvah of tefillin. Tefillin is a very, very important mitzvah. But tefillin, I mean, part of tefillin is put on your head. But very, very important. There are a lot of very important mitzvahs. Shake a lulav, that's an important mitzvah. Hear the shofar, that's an important mitzvah. Those are mitzvahs that are done with parts of your body that are not ma'akev. You can live without ears, you can live without hands, you can live without feet. But there are certain mitzvahs that are mitzvahs ha'lev, and certain mitzvahs that are mitzvahs ha'moach, you can't survive without. Talmud Torah, tefillah, munah b'Hashem. Those parts of mitzvahs that a person uses his head for, and he uses his heart for, the Avodah Shebalev, the Avodah Sheberosh, those mitzvahs, so you need a limb, you need an organ that's in tip-top shape. So comes Chofetz Chaim and says, imagine if there's something of interference. Imagine if there's something in the way. So here a person is getting his head all ready to go sit and learn to a sugya of the Ftur Mishvu, because I was learning that, preparing that for Shia, so it's on the tip of my tongue. That wasn't necessarily the model sugya. Migo, and he's a lumdus, and everything. And he's trying to use his head, he's trying to use his mind, and that's the same mind that thought through Averis just a few hours earlier. A person wants to have a closeness, v'haftas Hashem l'kecha, he wants to be oiv Hashem, v'chalev, a person wants v'haftas l'recha k'moicha, to be gemil chesed, to love somebody v'chalev, and it's the same heart that's used to desire other things which are stumbling blocks, which are interceptions. So says the Chafetz Chaim, imagine if the heart is blocked. Imagine if the brain is blocked. It's not just that the hand is blocked. That's that the foot is blocked. The Evarim and the Shabbat Luyaboy are blocked by an obstacle. There's an interception. The boy cites those interceptions, those things that get in the way, that are the first problem, the first source of our failure in the sense of being Bali Chait. As we started off by saying, a Chait means that I missed the target. Why did I miss the target? Because something deflected the target. What deflected the target? The Averis that a person does. So I have this grandiose plan last Yom Kippur that my heart's going to be a different heart and my brain's going to be a different brain and I'm going to learn Torah better than I did last year and I'm going to daven better and I'm going to be obviously Yisrael better than... And all these wonderful grandiose plans. And what gets in the way? What gets in the way? The heart that I want to use for Avos Hashem and Avos Yisrael somehow was Oev, all kind of other things. Prevents the Avos Yisrael from taking place. Prevents the Avos Hashem from taking place. The Moach that I had this grandiose plan is going to be used for Limud HaTorah. So somehow I used my brain, I used all my intellectual powers for some other kinds of things. Things which are unnecessary, things which are not appropriate. And now they deflect the ability to reach my target. So that's one chisara. That's one source of chait, is deflection. Then you have other sources of chait, other things that can somehow attribute the fact that the target wasn't quite made. Sometimes, what prevents the target from being reached is very, very simple. It's distance. It's too far. So I go back to the world of football. The guy's supposed to kick a field goal, an 85-yard field goal. It's too far. The guy's going to kick. It's going to kick straight, a perfect straight. But he's 40 yards away from where for the goalpost. It's just too far. There's a distance, and distance is a ma'akev in reaching the goal. The notion of distance in the realm of Eretz Hashem is a powerful, powerful description that the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Teshuvah, where the Rambam compares and contrasts what it's like the life of a chayte in contrast to the life of a bal teshuvah. Says the Rambam, when a person's in the state of chait, so he has a distance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and him. And it's a pain. You can see the Rambam's like writing, it's like he's tearing as he's writing. It's a pain that a person feels that he's not close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here he knows what it's like to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows what Dveikus Bashem means. And there's a wall, there's a distance, there's a gap between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the individual. Says the Rambam, how do you solve that? Says the Rambam, that's what Chazor B'Tshuva is. Lachzor B'Tshuva means to return. Who are you returning to? You're returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We sometimes think that Chazor B'Tshuva means that I'm being mechaper from my Averis. I'm saying Vidur from my Averis. Lachzor means to return. I'm returning to, means I was far away. I went on a trip. I used to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then I took a long, long trip. I'm way out somewhere else. I've gone off the derech somewhere lagamrei, right? I want to come back to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Chazor B'Tshuva means. The Karveinu, Makein Lavadasech, and the Brach of Tshuva. So we speak about the notion of Kirvas Elikim. When a person is in the state of a Richuk, so he misses the target. Nothing works. I'm distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My Shabbos is Nishkin Shabbos. My learning is Nishkin learning. My Ches is... Nothing's working. The source of the problem is Ki Yirchach Mimcha Mokom. But Ki Yirchach Mimcha Mokom is such a serious problem. It not only affects the person's Avodas Hashem in the sense of positive, that when a person feels that distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's hard for the mitzvahs to be meaningful, but Ki Yirchach Mimcha Mokom creates a cycle of chait. If you take a look at the Pesukim in Parshas Re'eh, so a good chunk of Parshas Re'eh is dedicated to the reality that Klal Yisrael are entering into Eretz Yisrael and they're going to be far away from Yerushalayim. Ki Yirchach Mimcha Mokom. So there are certain safeguards that have to be taken when you're far away from Yerushalayim. You have to set up a system of Ma'aseh Sheni, as the Torah sets up, Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni, and you have to set up a Aliyah L'Regel, give people an opportunity to come back to Yerushalayim 3 times a year. But there's a very, very profound danger in being in the state of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah gives us the parasha of Nesis. A person tries to convince you to do a Avodah Zarah. And then the Torah gives us the parasha of Yonidachas.
How does Yoni Dachas happen? How are you talking Yoni Dachas? The whole city goes off the Derech. So the answer is, because they're geographically far away from Yerushalayim. They're far away from the source of Kedusha. Once a person has distance, either geographic distance or psychological distance, emotional distance, once you feel distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and no matter what shape or form, there's a distance, you don't feel that Kibbutz Elikim, then that's when the problem starts. That's when all the nasises of this world come in. That's when the Yonidachas start to entice us, when that Kibbutz Elikim is broken. So being Rachok from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is another reason why we miss the mark. We're trying. We think we're shooting straight. We are shooting straight. We're shooting perfectly straight. We're just 80 yards off because it's too far. The target is just too far away. There are other problems that sometimes seep in to our Avodas Hashem that also cause us to be off target a little bit. Sometimes you can have a person, whether he's the quarterback, whether he's the kicker, whether he's the person shooting at the basket, whether the person who's pitching, whatever it is, the person gets tired. So the pitcher could start off the game. The first inning is gevaldig, is murder. They're clocking every pitch, every single time his arm throws. So they got another nafkamina. He gets tired. The person gets wiped out. And in the first three innings, he was throwing perfect strikes. By the fourth inning, he's already missing the corners. By the fifth inning, he's already wild pitches. A person gets tired, and getting tired causes the person to miss the target. There's tired and there's tired. There's tired in the world of Gashmias. I imagine some people are probably tired right now. I mean, even you may have gotten a good nap in today, but still it's 12:15 in the morning. It's not tired. So a person's physically tired, but a tremendous danger in Avodas Hashem is when a person becomes spiritually tired. A person becomes exhausted. That means they can't muster up strength. They can't get the oomph. They can't get to get up and go. The Koy Hashem Yachlifu Koach somehow is lacking. And when that happens, so the Mela, the target, is going to be missed. Not because there's any obstacle in the way, and not because it's too far away. It's doable, but you're too wiped out. Person has to be remechazik and remezares himself in order to get back on target. So we have a lot of different reasons why a person misses the target. There's another one, which also very relevant for us. Sometimes you miss the target, very simple, because you weren't paying attention. You weren't looking. The pitcher has got a mamish, a perfect, got to look at that catcher's glove and throw the ball, mamish perfect. The quarterback's got to throw it, mamish, got to strike right at the receiver. If you miss, if you're off, if you're distracted, imagine the guy's pitching a game. Imagine at the same time he's pitching the seventh game of the World Series, he's talking himself out to somebody else. Are you talking? He's going to pitch a strike. How you talking? Chalila v'chalila. I'm not here to give advertisements for the cell phone laws of driving, but we know that a person gets distracted. So one split second, he misses the target. Sometimes he hits the target, not the target he was trying to hit. So Rabbi, distraction in life is another source of chait. Here the person is rearing to go. He's strong. He's well rested spiritually. And he feels a tremendous closeness. He's not down. He's very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's perfect. Everything. There's no obstacle. Everything's gevaldik. And what happens? Something catches his attention. Something else catches his attention. And you see it all the time. Gets lost. Everything. All the machshavas tovus that a person had. When something else catches your attention, you get distracted. And you miss the goal. You miss the boat. Becomes a wild pitch, becomes an interception, only because you weren't paying attention. So by saying, in the realm of Avodas Hashem, a person has to be paying attention. A person has to have a focus. A person has to understand there are a lot of distractions in this world. And only if a person stays on target is he going to reach the target. But up until now, we've been talking about a person who misses the target. And, he's off by a little bit. Okay, he's kind of there. It's off by a half an inch here and there. It's a problem. It's an issue. But somehow we can deal with that. There's a much more profound type of missing the target. The marshal that's given that a person wanted to, he had plans. He was supposed to go to the east. That was he was supposed to get a boat going to the east. So he comes to the dock and he asks the boat, he asks the sailors, where are you going? So there was a mix-up. There was a confusion. They didn't understand what he said. And he ends up on the boat going to the west. And the boat is going west. He's looking at the sun, looking at the stars. All of a sudden, he realizes, the GPS out, recalculating. He realizes all of a sudden, he's going in the wrong direction. So he says, wait a second. I want to go to the east. What am I going to do? The boat's going to the west. What should I do? So a real chacham, a real, real chacham from straight out of Chelm. He goes to the east end of the boat, all the way to the other end, and he stands hanging over. He says, well, at least I'm in the easternmost part of the boat. So even though I'm not really going east, but at least I'm chachitz. So somebody says, you fool. He says, my hanilach, my nafgamina, whether you're in the east of the boat, you're right. The boat's going in the wrong direction. You're going the wrong way. My nafgamina, whether you're a couple of feet over to the east, you're anyway going to end up in the west. Everybody says that's the most dangerous part of missing the goal. The first four cases of missing the goal, at least you know what the goal is. At least you have a theory. At least you have a plan. Okay, the achid came in the middle and intercepted me. Something distracted me. I got too tired. That's too far. I have problems. But at least I'm in the right direction. The most profound source of chait, the most profound source of missing the goal, is you don't even know what the goal is. You're going mamish in the wrong direction. So Rabbi say, there's a lot of work to be done. Next couple of days, next couple of weeks. For the obstacles, the interceptions, the things that are trying to get in our way of Avodas Hashem, through the things that are not necessarily getting in our way, just kind of distractions that interfere with Avodas Hashem. There's the koichas, the strength, that we have to invigorate ourselves. Kavil Hashem, chazik, kavil Hashem, nochamol, again, divrei Torah, tzvichem chizuk. Sometimes we have to give the same musar over again, we have to recouch it in different terms, and remechazik ourselves, and say the whole message. Everybody needs chizuk. Divrei Torah, tzvichem chizuk, and then some more chizuk to go. But the most important thing is, we have to make sure that we're on the right boat. Make sure that we're pointing, we got to get the front of the boat, I don't know, the stern, the hull, I don't know, different. I know more about football than about boats. The bottom line is, make sure the boat is pointing in the right direction. Make sure our goals are pointing in the right direction. Hopefully, Kadosh Baruch will give us the siyata d'shmaya, to tshuva, to turn us around, in case we maybe were steering slightly off. To Kadosh Baruch will give us the proper siyata d'shmaya, to steer back again, to stay clear of all those obstacles along the way, to remechazik ourselves, to make sure that that distance in us, like Kadosh Baruch Hu, has been bridged. Hopefully, the chazara b'tshuva shalema that we're hopefully about to embark upon, we'll be able to misaken that, get the boat going in the right direction, with the proper strength, and the proper closeness. Hopefully, Kadosh Baruch Hu should misaken us to be chay. Is a bit shuvish lame in front of it.